All right, so this is an interview I did with Coach Hanato Subotic, who's based out of Sydney, Australia. And he's on the other side of the match that I talked about with Daniel Curtis. And his fighter is Fane Mosqueda. And she was the 2022 IMAF amateur champion. So we kind of talked about the match that's coming up. This is a fairly big match when you think of two people that are making a pro debut. On one side, you got a champion who has three titles. On the other side, you got IMF champion. Danielle is the Gamma amateur champion. Fane is the IMF amateur champion. And this will take place on July 29th in Enduro Fight Series in Australia. And so today we talked about that match. We also talked about some of the success of Australian fighters. We talked about, some of the fighters that he's paying attention to. We also talked a little bit about his own experience with Alexander Volkanovsky. So, and we also talked about the IMF Gamma kind of comparison, not really rivalry as he would call it, but more of a comparison between the two amateur organizations that are trying to put MMA into the Olympics. So check it out. This is Hanato Subotic from Australia. And be sure to check out my sponsor, Live to Fight Design. You can find them on Instagram at Live2FightDesign. And they make fight banners and gym banners. And if you use my promo code Todd Atkins, you get $20 off your order. So check that out. All right, so it's Todd Atkins, and I'm here with Hanato. Is it Subotic? Is that how I say it?
Subotic.
And, he's going to join me to kind of talk about this matchup that I was talking about previously on my show between Fane Mosqueda, who is his student, and Daniel Curtis. So first, I'd like to let you introduce yourself to anybody who may not be familiar with you.
So my name is Renato Subotic. A lot of people know me as Coach Subotic. I've been coaching MMA for the last 12 years. And more specifically in Australia, I started coaching 5 years ago. So my team, Family Fight Team, it's probably one of the most active and successful team at the moment in Australia. We are based in Sydney, and Fane, it's probably the reason why we're having this chat. She's the first ever Australian as a senior to win an IMAF World Championship, and she's gonna have her debut in 10 days, a professional debut. As my background, I've been in martial arts all my life. My dad, my grandfather are all martial artists. It's something, it's natural for us in a family. And I find myself doing that. My dad was a good coach, good fighter. And here I am leading the next generation.
Were you in Italy for a while too?
I was most of my coaching career was in Italy, for family reason and life reason, I moved in Australia 5 years ago, and I pursued my coaching career here.
You like the surfing? Is the surfing better out there?
No, not really. I only like MMA. I don't follow any other sport. Sorry?
No, I was just asking, is the surfing better out there? Is that why you came out there too?
No, not really. It's not for surfing. Maybe for the weather, but surfing is not my thing.
Okay. All right. So I want to talk to you a little bit. Why do you think they decided to do this matchup first? Do you know? You're still there?
Oh, yeah. I lost you for a second.
No, it's okay. So I wanted to ask you, why do you think they settled on this match first? Is it because of this kind of IMMAF, it's kind of hard for me to say that in a row, and this Gamma rivalry? Is that why you think they did it or no?
Honestly, it's a match we ask. So we ask specifically for that match, not for getting into a political reason, not for a rivalry, IMF, Gamma, was more because Fane couldn't find any matchup. Fane is a very dangerous athlete. And if you just check statistic, right? She fought, her record is 6-1. And all the opponents she fought, they have like a crazy resume. At the IMF World Championship this year, she beat a girl who was the former world champion 10-0 from Brazil. She beat the European champion 5-3 from Sweden. She beat the Spanish, who was 6-3, second at the world championship. So, it's very, very hard to get a matchup for her. She's an extremely dangerous fighter. And we know Danielle was turning pro, and probably will have been hard for her too to find fights because of her experience, etc. So we specifically asked the promotion, look, let's make this fight happen. And Danielle was on board and her team. And we made it happen. And I think it's going to be a great matchup for all the fans.
Now I want to ask you about the IMMAF and Gamma, kind of like Justin was telling me this backstory.
Yeah.
I know you described a little bit of it. Maybe you could talk about that some.
Yeah, look, I can give you my I'm a very, people who knows I'm a sort of like nerd for MMA, and I like data, and I like to talk when I'm well informed about things, right? You know, in my opinion, in terms of federation, is not competition. If you look the proportion of the events IMF organized, for example, look at an IMF World Championship, the one done in Serbia, or the one previously done in Abu Dhabi or in Bahrain, it's very big, you know, it's organized everything in detail. And let's see, I think this clash of promotion comes, first of all, because IMF is backed by UFC and Gamma is backed by ONE Championship. So that's the reason why many people think it's sort of a clash. But in terms of organization, you cannot even put them next to each other. If you see, the IMF World Championship, it's having 300-400 people participating there, but Gamma have maybe 50-60, you know. And also IMF is organizing a cage, Gamma is in the ring. And I know a lot of people say, yeah, but Gamma can have also professional fighters competing there. Well, I think that's, you cannot call it a amateur world championship if professional are attending there. So that's my personal view. I think it's not a more valuable things. You're saying, oh, you know, it's harder as a competition because professionals can attend. No, it's just not an amateur tournament anymore because actually professional can attend. So that's some point which is important to take in consideration. And it's very important to understand it's not competition in terms of numbers, the view, the the entity of the IMAF World Championship is huge. And, you know, we all know why it's so hard to compete MMA in a ring, because it's extremely dangerous. Like, if you take down your opponent and you end up out of the ring, which is at happen, and it's already a dangerous sport. If you play in an environment which is not safe, and you risk, like, if I go for a takedown, nothing stops me, and I'm gonna drop my opponent on the floor or on some chairs of the crowd, like, it's not gonna be an healthy and safe situation, you know. It's just about the data, and also like the level of competition. Like Gama, I think, had at the last world championship probably five nations. I must have like 150. You know, like, it's, come on, it's not even in term, like, to be clear, like, to nothing to take away from the experience an athlete can gain from any sort of competition, which is a win anyway. But it's been many occasions where a person who had participated in an IMAF World Championship couldn't even rank like number 20 and went to Gamma and won, you know? So that's the sort of level, like, you cannot even compare. And I like to be like straight on point, you know, like, it's comparison, but like, they have to be done, like, taking in account, like, of all the aspects, which, you know, when you go to an IMAF World Championship, you have Mark Goddard, who referee in UFC, and he's refereeing you in the finals. You have all, like, some of the best referee in the world refereeing you. And they, the weekend after, they, maybe you've seen them in the UFC. And so, same things in sort of Catman. You have all the Catman from the same squad of the UFC, who are the Catman when you compete in IMAF. It's like just the top of the top in terms of amateur level, you know?
How long do you think it might take them to get this kind of format in the Olympics, just in your opinion?
Well, the format is already like very, it's perfect for the Olympics. You know, one wears red, one wears blue. The rules said it's safe enough, because, you know, sometimes the problem of the Olympic is also they don't allow when a sport is extremely violent for television purpose, etc. But with the IMAF rule set, you know, you have shin pads, you have like the biggest MMA gloves, you don't have knee in the head, the rounds are 3 minutes. So it's kind of, it's more safe, but still is MMA, you know. You can play it safe how much you want. Someone's gonna get knocked down, TKO, submission. So that's, I think, the step which have to be win. And I think it's mainly political reason. It's will be good to see more working together, you know, from different entity. And I think that will help, like, globally MMA in general, you know.
Now, I don't, you may not know, but why do you think UFC backed this? Why is ONE backing it? What do you think their interest was in backing these things?
Well, I think UFC have a huge interest and understanding on develop like a high level of amateur. So once they turn in pro, they're extremely competitive. Like, the level of MMA now, it's completely different than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So an amateur now who is competitive in the regional level, 10 years ago will have been competing now in UFC. That's how the sport have evolved drastically. You cannot even be compared. So UFC, of course, seen the process and the evolution, and seen the sport going that path, So of course wants to be the backbone and wants to support the evolution. And sooner or later, MMA is going to be Olympic. It's just the matter, not if, but when. And I think UFC and choosing to support that most, I can say, the federation who could probably be more successful in the future to be Olympic, you know? So that's the reason why. And on the other hand, I think Gama is doing the same, like, because it's probably many reasons an interest to have like a big amateur pool you can attach from, you know, and have a professional fighters, because you have a lot of fighters who they don't want to be professional. They want just to compete and few amateur fights. But you know better than me. 10 years ago, you don't even understand what is an amateur, what is a pro, right. What how many mm-hmm. runs. Some fights get turned from an amateur a pro. Like was very confusing and had to be more structured. And now it is. So yeah, I think it's an interest for a global progress of the sport, you know, it's important.
Now I want to ask you, I mean, I know, like, what evaluating Danielle, like, what do you think of her as a, you know, as a competitor?
No, she's a great fighter. Like I'm that's why who knows us as a team in Australia, we only choose the best challenge for us. Like I'm a stronger believer as a coach. I have two fighters competing this weekend, four fighters competing in the same show fights competing. So I'm a stronger believer. You can only get a lot of people, you know, they have the dream to come to you, to be part of the UFC, you know, to be in UFC. But the goal shouldn't be part of the UFC. The goal should be to be competitive in UFC, which is a completely different process. And a lot of is not people think it's hard to get in UFC. It's not hard to get in UFC. Like you do the right things, you are you invest in yourself, you do the right choices. At some point, you're gonna be in UFC. But the problem, you're not gonna be competitive in UFC. So, as we know, female fighters have another issue. Like, it's not many girls competing, and it's not many girls in a sort of weight classes, right? So it's not much to choose. Like we know sooner or later we're gonna face the hardest challenge, and Danielle is a good challenge so far, and that's the reason we take it. Like, because we want a challenge, we want to be put in an uncomfortable situation. And now, as a growing process in the professional career, so doesn't happen once you are in a big stage or with a lot of things in the line, a contract to UFC or maybe a life-changing win, you know? So we want that now. We want like to have all the struggles possible now and evolve from there.
Now tell me about this Enduro show. Like, I know they've had like a handful of shows, but what do you think of this one as an event?
So Enduro, in my opinion, is probably, if it was an award to like the best growing show in Australia, will be win by Enduro. Enduro, I think, is on their fourth show. And have evolved every show. Actually, they started in a very, very simple way. They have an amazing venue, crazy, nice setup. Ben and all his team, they are extremely professional. So they don't do anything randomly. Everything is done perfectly. And they're just moving up very quick. And having this fight, I think, because Danielle is also local in Canberra, so she's fighting locally, and I think that's gonna bring a great, great view to the MMA, to the community, and also to the females MMA. You know, it's gonna be huge.
Now you've been there, Australia, for about 8 years, right?
5 years. 5 years.
Oh, 5 years. But why do you think, you know, like these athletes in Australia and New Zealand are starting to have the kind of success that they've been having for the past few years?
Well, it's many reasons. First of all, their love for the sport. They're very, probably because of the rugby background, etc. But they are extremely in love with the sport. And they have like a phenomenal work ethic. And also, I think a big point is the lifestyle you can afford in Australia, right? So they have a pretty, you know, for example, if you're an athlete and you find a part-time job, you can afford to training and you're not very tired on the training. And I think maybe in US or in Europe, like it's almost impossible, you know, to maintain a good lifestyle and affording like to training, work, training in quality and work, etc. So, yeah, I think that's the secret. And their love for fighting, they love fighting. They follow UFC crazily, and I think that's probably the cherry on the cake, you know.
Now I want to ask you about as a coach, like, are you coaching at UFC gym primarily, or do you have your own spot too, or?
No, so I'm the head coach at the UFC gym, but our team use the facility, so we kind of using the space, and because it's so many advantage to be here, like we have like a huge cage and the mats and the facility is amazing.
Yeah.
And I was one of the coaches of the Australian national team for IMAF before I was the coach of the Italian national IMAF team, so I've been doing that 10, 12 years, even if I'm young, you know, I start when I was 18, and I've been doing that on the top of the level with no days off for 12 years. So, yeah, let's say I know what I'm doing.
you must love it if you're doing it with no days off for that.
No days off.
Now, let me ask you this. Like as a coach, what kind of, do you watch everything, or are there certain things that you...
Everything,
all the events?
I watch every single show. I watch every single opponent. I watch every single minute they fight. If I can find out even when they go to the toilet, I'm watching even that. So I don't leave nothing on the case, and everyone knows here I'm doing that. They call me sometimes a magician, because I like to predict how the fights they're gonna go, and I kind of lately hit that pretty often, so they start calling me magician, no? And yeah, I think it's very important with the knowledge and the tape and the things we have out there now. Someone as a coach will be a foolish to not use it. You know, is an amazing book called Sun Tzu, which teach you how important it is to study everything about your opponent and everything which can make you win the war. And yeah, I'm a stronger believer of that.
I have it right behind me.
One of the best
Art of War. Yeah.
Yeah.
Been around a long time. Let me ask you this. Who do you think is doing well, just in your opinion, guys you've seen, just in general, like fighters you've seen or that you like?
In From Australia or in general?
Just in general.
Well, I like many fighters. I'm very fascinated of the progress and the quick progress have Muakaev in UFC.
Oh yeah.
I think is gonna be a huge future star, and also he's a two-time world champion in IMOF, so he's an IMOF product, and I think we're gonna see more and more this amateur with a good amateur record coming up to the professional ranking very quick. And of course, I'm a huge fan of Volkanovski because I've worked with him, and as a human being, as an athlete, and even in his fight with Islam, what he's able to show was like just inspiring, you know? And I think he's a great champion to have, a pound for pound champion, and also being the best athlete in the country in the moment. Lean as a crazy example, you know?
Yeah, he seems to be able to find a way to win, just whoever it is in front of him, he can kind of.
Yeah, his fighting IQ is unbelievable. You might have some answer for what he does, but in a break, he comes back and he have the answer of your answer, and like he's just like a constant step ahead of you, and that's what makes him as a champion.
So really, when you work with him, you feel like that's kind of an area people don't talk about with him.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think probably everyone talks about his strength, his physique, which is undeniable. But I will point at first his fighting IQ and his ability on finding answer where he's maybe slightly losing the game and come back like with a window of option very quick.
Now tell me like some of the other fighters you're working with that people might want to watch out for.
So I'm working with a very close friend of mine, Martin Nguyen. He was a two-time one championship world champion. Mm-hmm. And he's fighting Gary next. So he just came back from holiday yesterday, and we've been in contact this morning. So that's going to be the next fight for him. And also, I've been working for a long time with Marvin Vettori back in Italy. And also, he's going to come probably in September, October to visit me. And we have like, in Italy, had Danilo Beluardo, he was UFC fighter. Leon Aldiu, he was in Dana White Contender Series. Alan Amedovsky was in UFC. Emanuele Palombi was in Bellator, and I have like few very good fighter in my roster in Italy. Of course, moving back in Australia, I have to start growing everything from the beginning. But we had a crazy pool of talent, which in the next couple of years is going to be an explosion, and is going to be the next stars around.
Now, you said Martin's going to fight Gary?
Yeah.
What did you think of Gary's fight with Shamil? I thought it was interesting.
I think it was interesting. I think we could all say he will try to pull out of submission. And 90% of the time, we could say it will have been on a heel hook or an Ibar or something like that. I think the Russian made few mistakes, which allows him to be in that position. I think Martin is very, very smart and experienced and game as a fighter. He have a crazy knockout power, but people underrate his jiu-jitsu. He have a very good jiu-jitsu and it's hard to take down, and it's gonna be an interesting fight. Yeah.
Now I know you got to get to class soon. What can people, like, if something we didn't talk about you, or maybe something that people could follow you at, or something like that?
What I can say? I can say I'm just a person who is in love with the game, and I'm extremely passionate. That's what I like to see my sport, like, as a science. I like to study the game constantly. Even now when I'm talking to you, on the other side is a screen, which it's playing UFC fights. Yeah. And I'm simultaneously, I'm talking with you, I'm looking at the technique which is going on the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, okay, that's something interesting I can work on. So that's my obsession. That's what I want to say. Like, it's if someone have love for the game, love for the sport, and is interested and ask me questions, I have a lot of people contact me specifically lately on social media to explain technique, and I start doing that, and it's having like a huge success, and I'm always open to help and support specifically young athletes, you know, who maybe they don't have a clear direction. So yeah, I'm happy to help out much as I can. And that's all. Yeah, no more to say.
And people can find you at the Coach Subotic on Instagram.
On Instagram or Facebook, same Coach Subotic. And if they have any questions, anything they want to ask, they can come in person, or they can contact me on social media. And more than happy to support if I can.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk about this match and everything. I appreciate, you know, you taking time.
I appreciate your time too.
Share your knowledge.
Thank you.
Your experience. And I'd love to talk to you again sometime. You know, pick your brain on something.
Done.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And take care. It was great meeting you, and appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Take care. Now, for anyone who's checking out these episodes, as always, I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this. And I want you to check out my YouTube channel, which is a Todd Atkins Show. I put up a lot of the episodes there first, so if you like to check them out in video format, that's where I would usually put them up before I do audio for these shows. And I just want you to support that. I also have some videos from Derek Galanis, who's a friend of mine, who's allowed me to kind of put up his, I would say, shorts. That's what he likes to do as far as comments on different aspects of the fight game. So I have a lot of videos there from Derek. And just a ton of interviews and fight shows. Anyone who's a hardcore fan, you'll like my YouTube. So check it out, Todd Atkins Show. And if you want to follow Renato Subotic, you can find him at Coach Subotic, which is Subotic, on Instagram and Facebook. And as always, appreciate you listening to the episode. Until next time, take care.